Isaiah chapter 1. The vision of Isaiah, son of Amos, which he saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord has spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. The ox knows its owner, and the donkey its master's crib. But Israel does not know. My people do not consider. Alas, sinful nation, a people laden with iniquity, a brood of evildoers, children who are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked to anger the Holy One of Israel. They have turned away backward. Why should you be stricken again? You will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick. The whole heart faints. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed or bound up or soothed with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Strangers devour your land in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. So the daughter of Zion is left as a booth in a vineyard, as a hut in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Unless the Lord of hosts had left to us a very small remnant, we would become like Sodom. We would have been made like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Give ear to the law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says the Lord? I have had enough of burnt offerings of rams and of the fat of the fed cattle. I do not delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or goats. When you come to appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. They are a trouble to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. How has the faithful city become a harlot? It was full of justice. Righteousness lodged in it. But now murderers, your silver has become dross, your wine mixed with water. Your princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and follows after rewards. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the cause of the widow come before them. Therefore the Lord says, the Lord of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, I will get rid myself of my adversaries and take revenge of my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and thoroughly purge away your dross and take away all your alloy. I will restore your judges as the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you shall be called the city of righteousness, the faithful city. Zion shall be redeemed with justice and her penitents with righteousness. The destruction of transgressors and of sinners shall be together, and those who forsake the Lord shall be consumed. for they shall be ashamed of the terrible trees which you have desired, and you shall be embarrassed because of the gardens which you have chosen. For you shall be as the terebinth whose leaf fades, and as a garden that has no water. The strong shall be as tinder, and the work of it as a spark. Both will burn together, and no one shall quench them. Some harsh words from the Lord were delivered by Isaiah to Israel. And it's appropriate to ask ourselves why. Why does the Lord has to say such things about his own people? Didn't he choose them? Weren't they the ones who had his law, his scriptures, his prophets, his promises for blessings? Didn't he give them the land they possess? Didn't he take them out of Egypt? Didn't he free them from slavery? Why is he talking to them like that? They didn't expect to hear such words from him. Why not? Their problem was idolatry. And not only idolatry in the sense of worshipping other gods, which they did, but idolatry in the sense of putting God aside, having other priorities. Idols are not always other gods. And in this passage, God doesn't really, in chapter 1, God doesn't really speak about them worshipping idols. What he speaks about is them not worshipping him properly, because their heart was not in the worship. And God was not their priority. Their law, they have turned the law of God and the feasts of God and everything that he has commanded, they have turned this into tradition, into something they do, into a habit. But listen how God demands to be worshipped in Deuteronomy 6, 4 and 5. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. Israel clearly has not been doing this, or the Lord wouldn't tell them that his soul hates their feasts. He wouldn't tell them that the incense that he commanded them to burn for him, he wouldn't tell them that this incense is an abomination to him if their hearts were in the right place. But they weren't. They have become idolaters, and they didn't know about it. They didn't want to admit it. They have strayed away from the Lord, and they thought, we're fine. It's all good. We serve the Lord. We obey him. We do what he asked us to do. It's all good. This is what they thought, which is why the Lord had to send Isaiah to tell them, no, you're not good. I hate what you're doing. I don't care about your sacrifices. I'm sick and tired of the fat of the cattle that you offer. That's not what I want. You know what I want. I gave you the law. What I want is your love to the fullest extent. And this is not what I get. I get cattle. I get incense. I get feasts. I hate them. They thought they could just do the routine and they would be fine. But they were wrong. They were wrong. They had forgotten about following God with their heart. They had forgotten about repentance. And they desperately needed repentance. And so they desperately needed to hear how God really felt about them. And so the topic today is repentance. I want to see how this passage relates to us, what we can learn from this passage. This is a passage that calls to repentance. This is the ministry of all the prophets, Isaiah and everyone else. The Lord was continually sending prophets again and again and again to call Israel to repentance. And Israel continually failed to do so. They would sometimes repent for a little while, and then they would go back to their old ways. And this was happening over and over and over again. And we know finally from the rest of the Bible that Lord's patience ran out and he delivered them to judgment. They were taken captive. They lost everything. They lost everything. They lost their land. They lost their temple, the place of worship. They lost their freedom to worship God. They were taken into foreign nations, forced to worship foreign gods. The Lord judged them because they did not repent. And the Lord will judge us if we don't repent. But it's not a big problem because we're no idolaters, right? I mean, this was Israel, and we're talking about the church now, the church that Christ established, the church that he built up, the church that the Holy Spirit is dwelling in and taking care of. We must be immune from the sins of Israel, from rebellion, from idolatry, right? We surely love God better than they did. We surely love him as he commanded in Deuteronomy, with all our heart, all our soul, all our strength, right? Okay. Let's not be ridiculous. Okay, George? Enough. Enough. It's not like that. We know it's not. But how bad can it be with us today, with the church? Can God say to us, to what purpose do you gather? Why do you trample my ground when you gather together? Can God say this to his church? Surely not. Can God say to his church, my soul hates your singing? I'm not listening to your prayers? Can he? What if God sent a prophet today, a prophet like Isaiah? What will he say to us, to his church? Will he have a message like this to deliver? Well, God actually did send the prophet like Isaiah. God actually sent Isaiah, because Isaiah was not only sent to Israel. This is why we have this book here. This is the purpose for this book. God sent Isaiah to us as well. And what Isaiah had to say to Israel, it applies to us as well. We really have to examine ourselves. We really have to see where our priorities lie. Have we become idolaters like Israel? Has our priorities changed? Have we put God on the side of our life? Have we reduced him to a ritual once a week for an hour or so? Some singing, some praying, listening to some preacher. Is this the extent of our religion? Israel was doing more than that. They had many feasts, they had sacrifices, they had many laws, they have Sabbaths, they had many, many things. They were doing much more than that. And yet, this is what the Lord had to say to them. So have we become idolaters as Israel? What is idolatry? What would a modern idolatry look like? What would we raise up to a number one priority in our life today, if not God? Our work, our family, our friends, entertainment, food, television. In today's society, human autonomy is an absolute idol. The most important thing that society has to teach us is, it's my life. I get to decide. I will do whatever I please. And you cannot say anything to me. It's my life. I have my freedom. I have my autonomy. And we would be fools to think that this kind of thinking does not impact us. We live in society. We are completely submerged in this kind of thinking everywhere we go. Everywhere we go. And so to say to ourselves that we're not like that because we go to church, because we pray, we would be fooling ourselves. We must examine our hearts. We must see if we really seek to obey the Lord or we are just going after whatever pleases us. Let's see what John had to say about this in 1 John chapter 1 and verses 5 to 10. This is the message which we have heard from him, that's God, and declare to you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sin is not a one-time thing. Sin is not something that you repent of once, you become a Christian, and then you're fine. Then you're good with the Lord, then it's all good, then you have nothing else to worry about. Sin is not like that. The Epistle of John is addressed to believers. It's not addressed to the unbelievers. It's not an attempt to evangelize people who don't know God and tell them you are sinners and you need to repent and follow God. No, it's a message to believers. It's a warning to believers. Do not lie to yourselves. You are sinners. There is sin in you. You need to recognize this sin in you. You need to repent from it. You need to confess it. And God is faithful and just to forgive it. But this will only happen if you recognize and if you confess your sin. Because if you live your life the way Israel did, if you go through religious rituals, if you use religion to make you feel good about yourself and about your position before God, that's not recognizing sin. That's not repentance. And that's not something that God is going to just ignore. He's not going to say, oh, it's okay, as long as they're in church, as long as they pray, they're better than the world. That's not how God thinks. God demands 100%. God demands the first place. We either worship God or we worship idols. So, how do we repent then? If we recognize our sin and if we recognize that our Christian life is not what it is supposed to be, and that we need to do something about it, we need to change something about it. If we recognize as a church, by the way, this passage is directed to a is not directed to individuals, it's directed to the nation. It's directed to the church in our case. So as a church, we need to recognize where our priorities lie, as a church, as individuals as well, but as a church. We have to ask ourselves, are we pleasing to God as a church? And if the answer is no, which I believe it is, then we have to ask ourselves, well, how do we repent of this? How do we change this? What did the Lord say to Israel? He told them how to repent. He told them what they needed to do. It's in verses 16 to 20 of Isaiah 1. Here is what he says. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red, like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. So this is what repentance looks like then. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. But how do we do that? What's the evil that we're doing? We need to recognize this. We need to recognize the evil that we're doing as a church. Or if we don't recognize it, we can't cease doing it. And we can learn to do good if we can distinguish between good and evil. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. How? We need to think about these things. We need to be thinking. We need to be spending time praying and thinking, praying that God will reveal us our sin, our wrongdoings, our evil, because it's there. We need to be thinking about the church. We need to be thinking about our role in the church, about our function in the church, and how can we contribute? How do we contribute to the problem, first of all, and how can we contribute to the solution? And when we do that, there is a promise that our sins will be made white as snow. How is this going to work? How will be our sins be white as snow and white as wool? Well, Christ took care of that already. God will do this for us. God did this for us already. And if we're willing and obedient, as he says in verse 19, then this cleansing of sin, this gift of God is for us. But if we rebel and we want to just have God on the side, have him minister to him on Sunday only, for an hour only, there is no blessing. There is judgment coming if this is the case. We need to think how we spend our time during the week. How much time do we dedicate to the different activities during the week? Work, family time, social time, our friends, hobbies, personal time, rest, studying of the word, prayer, serving the church, serving the world, witnessing to people who don't know Christ, to our friends, our families, people around us, our colleagues. How much time do we dedicate to all these things? And then we can clearly see what our priorities in life are. If it turns out that we do not serve the Lord by studying His Word, by getting to know Him better. If it turns out that we do not serve the Lord by praying about His will, which is for His elect to get to know Him, which is for His gospel to be proclaimed throughout the world. If we don't pray about this, if we don't participate in this, if we don't pray for the growth of His church, the growth in the Spirit, the growth in knowledge, if we don't participate in this growth, then serving the Lord isn't really our priority. And we have to repent of this. And we have to change this. We have to confess this to the Lord, first of all. We have to ask for forgiveness. There is forgiveness. It is there for us. We have to ask for forgiveness. We have to confess our sin. And then we have to repent. But what is repentance? Repentance is not the confession of sin. Repentance is not the prayer for forgiveness. Repentance is the changing of our ways. Repentance is to cease to do evil and to learn and to start to do good. This is true repentance. Repentance is not just recognizing that we are sinners and just every time we sin, just saying, oh God, I'm wrong again, sorry, forgive me. That's what Israel was doing. They had the sacrifices. They knew that they were sacrificing animals because they were sinners. They knew that their sin deserved death, as does ours, as does every sin. They knew all that. And so they were going through with the sacrifices as the God had commanded them to do. But this was no repentance. This was just a ritual. We should not allow ourselves for our Christian life to turn into a ritual. We should not allow ourselves, our prayers and our sin to turn into something that's just a daily ritual that we sin, we pray, we move on to sin again, pray again, and so on and so on. This is not pleasing to God. He will have none of this. This summer I met a friend of mine, an old friend of mine. We grew up together. Haven't seen him in many years. We talked, I asked him how he was doing. And he's been doing great. He's been very successful. He has become a big manager. He has hundreds of people underneath him. Hundreds. And as he was telling me about his career and how things went, I know where he started. He started at a call center for technical support. He was picking up the phone and answering the customers who had problems. He was working for a big computer company. And so he was telling me how his career progressed from there on. And he said something that impressed me a lot. He said, by the end of every day, he said, I ask myself, does the work I did today deserve the money I get paid? If I was an employer and someone did this kind of work in a day, would I pay them the kind of money that I'm being paid? Well, no wonder he's where he is when this is the way he thinks, when this is how responsible he is with his work. I felt rebuked. This guy's an unbeliever. I felt rebuked because I don't ask myself at the end of every day, did I please God today? I don't ask myself, if God came to visit today, will he say, well done, George. Time wisely spent today, you did good. Or will he say, what was that? Did you even think about me today? We need to think about this. We need to think about this every day of our lives. We need to think about this not only individually, we need to think about this as a church. Are we pleasing to God as a church? Does our church life please God? Did our church life this Sunday please God? Did our church life this Monday please God? Oh wait, there is no church life on Monday. Well, what about Tuesday? No. Wednesday? Thursday? Friday? Saturday? Not really. We need to do something about this. We have to ask ourselves the question that God asks Israel in verse 11. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifice to me? Why are we doing what we're doing? Is there any purpose? Do we do this to please God? Or do we do this to please ourselves? What is the purpose of our church life? Proverbs 27:5 says that open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Open rebuke is better than love carefully concealed. Think about that. Think about that when you have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you have fellowship with your unbelieving friends and colleagues and neighbors. We need to recognize sin in our lives. We need to recognize sin in the lives of our brothers and sisters. And we need to openly rebuke them about this. As a church, if we're going to change something, we have to stop tolerating sin. Or we risk becoming like the Corinthians, who were so dulled to the sin amongst them that they were tolerating gross immorality. We don't want this to be us. And if we are to avoid this from happening to us, we need to practice this verse in Proverbs. And this is what is actually my goal today, to practice this, to rebuke the church in love. And I hope that I'm not terribly failing in doing that. I hope that I don't come off as with a better than thou attitude, as someone who points a finger and says, you sinners, you need to rebuke, to repent. Because that's not what I want to do today. What I want to do today is I want to openly speak about our sin and to encourage all of us to deal with it, to take it to God in confession, in prayer, and in repentance, to stop doing it and start doing what's right. Thank you for your attention. I will pray.